6-0 vote.
I have tonight a draft letter that I would like to say sent to David Finney. As you know, normally I would not come to the board once you've accepted an architect. But what I'd like to do is, before I hand this letter out and timetable on the high school project, what I'd like to tell you is what the status of the high school project is. If I may, Mr. Chairman?
Please.
Thank you. I received a email from the commissioner's office late Friday. I called State Representative Jones, State Senator Tissay. I called SBA. SBA had no idea of anything about this memo. And two of the three officials were on a retreat or at a conference. State Representative Jones and State Senator Tissay called the commissioner's office on Friday afternoon and had a short conversation. Monday morning, I followed up. I called all the board members, talked to all the board members, called the chairman of the building committee to bring up on the status. I talked to State Representative Jones and Tissay endless numbers of times over the last 5 days. As of 4 o'clock this afternoon, the commissioner is reviewing the Reading file. He said he will have an answer in the next 2 weeks on whether he's going to add it to the list. There are 14 of the 28 projects, to the best of my knowledge, are not funded. And they use the 6 or 7 things that appeared in the email. And that I am presently working on the status of the high school through those items. And I just assume leave it at that. I will have some status report on where we stand with the high school internally and externally, probably within the next 10 days. My recommendation to the board is I have a memorandum here that I'd like to hand out that authorizes me to authorize design partnership to move immediately to get everything that needs to be done by June 1st into the state, and it has a maximum cap of $400,000 on it. I've also included in this, on the back, is a timetable for the project. Okay? The board should know that if any time between now and June 1st, you don't have it yet, it's coming here. If any time between now and June 1st, I receive from our representative or senator that the project is not moving forward, then I will immediately call the board together and I will tell design partnership to cease and desist until further time. The school committee authorizes me to stop them. But you had an early election for this purpose. We've already had downtime on hiring the architect. We've had to transfer files as of today. All the files at Flansburgh have been transferred to design partnership. I took care of that. And I told Mr. Finney that if I receive a favorable moved by the board, that he should move forward on it. I need to remind you that 4 or 5 weeks ago, the commissioner stopped funding on all projects. A lot of hard work on the part of a lot of people in Reading. We got that overturned. We got a special legislative act. I also spoke to Senator Tissay 4 o'clock this afternoon. He indicated to me if this could not happen through the regular channels that he would be interested in moving forth a piece of legislation. This is a legislative act that comes out of the executive branch. The executive branch has no money to fund this. They get their money from the legislative branch. So the legislator will have the final word on how much money goes in there, and the legislature will have the final word on which projects go in there. This is only a recommendation. There are not many communities working as hard as we are, from what I gather from other superintendents and what I've heard from legislators beyond ours. I would strongly suggest that the committee not break stride at this time because we have no, I feel very comfortable that we are going to be successful. The downside is that if we don't pull all the punches on this one, I believe SBA the next year will be put in abeyance for the next 3 to 4 years while the Pope program is redefined and the high school project would sit there unless the town decided to fund it without state reimbursement. So let me hand out the memorandum, take a moment to look at it.
Again, you said Steve, these things draft. I apologize. This is a draft memorandum.
It says draft.
It does say draft. on the corner.
It does?
Upper left.
Oh, yeah, sorry. We usually use our stamp. That concludes, I'll answer any questions.
Yeah, give us a second to go through this.
Mr. Chairman, if I might.
Please, go ahead.
I'd like to suggest two actions by this committee. The first is we need to keep faith with the voters who overwhelmingly told us they want this project and proceed to submit our package as we promised. Therefore, I support this letter. The second thing we should do is twofold. We as a committee should come up with a set of criteria for a decision point after the June 1st package delivery as to what is sufficient or insufficient and responsible to proceed. One of those pieces of information is we should ask Design Partnership to indicate to us the costs of putting the project on hold at that point. There are always costs for a company to keep minimal staff and keep the records and such, but it's not a lot. And we need to know both when we should call that halt, if we need to, and what, we need to work with our architect to make that a responsible decision that does not destroy the project. Those are my thoughts.
Thank you. Anyone else want to comment on this?
John, go ahead. When we engaged Flansburgh with about $450,000 schematic designs, I believe we were under the impression that we would get an approvable set of schematics at that point in time.
It's not my understanding, nor is it my understanding of the, according to the chairman of the building committee. But I'd have to check with the chairman of the building committee because that was a building committee function.
The second point of, along with that is that I had presented information last time and we had agreement that Flansburgh could continue on, or we could continue on and get approval from the state with the form that I had passed out, because I indicated which areas that you had previously indicated satisfactory response and that you could complete that application form.
There's no question that prior to hiring Design Partnership, you could have tried to engage in a contract with Flansburgh to do that. At this particular point, you've taken a formal vote that from this point forward, Flansburgh has no records. They've deleted us from existence in their office, and everything's been transferred to David Finney permanently. So you have a bit of a problem there, because I've spoken to both architectural firms about your idea.
Okay. The other point is that, according to my knowledge from the website, is that the June 1st deadline is no longer the case, and it can be as late as August.
Untrue. June 1st has been moved to June 30th. June 30th has been moved to August 29th. So you must have a preliminary work in by June 30th. This board has directed me to get everything done by June 1st.
Repeatedly.
If this board would like some other superintendent to take care of that, you don't have to ask this superintendent twice.
The other point is that on two occasions I've stated that we ought to be prudent in terms of our decisions considering the major upheaval at the state level regarding SBA funding. I made those two suggestions and I didn't have a crystal ball yet on Friday that time. This past Friday, state is, at this point in time, taking us off of even applying for a position for refunding or at least reimbursement. I'm still very concerned about the whole program, that we go ahead and we decide that we spend the money or we sign a contract for the elementary school or otherwise, and we end up with maybe both projects not being reimbursed, then we as a community will have to decide where we're going to put our money. Either one project or both, but we should have that flexibility. So I feel that until we have that information, that we should not be making premature, say, judgments or at least actions.
Susan.
I need some reassurance from others whose memory may be better than mine, but did we not just re-vote or reconfirm a previous vote that was before other members were on the school committee, that we would not move a project forward until we were accepted on the list by the SBA? Isn't that what we voted?
My memory is we voted not to move a project forward that's not reimbursable. And at some point in time, if we find out it's definitively not reimbursable, but I think right now we have preliminary lists from the SBA, and I think we have encouragement from our legislators that this isn't over. Harry, did you have a comment?
Yeah, I was just going to say that no project in the history of SBAB that's been submitted to June 1st has ever received approval for funding for the June 1st submittal. We always do that. Where you get into trouble is you break ground before you get SBA, right, and you're on your own. But for design and submittal, whenever the state decides to open up the program, at some point, two things I know. One, there's going to be a program someday, and two, the high school is going to get on there. That the state would reimburse us for at whatever percent it is at that point for the architectural work. And there's no way that what we've been told is don't break ground until you get the approval and the number. But for architectural and for submittal of June 1, for Eaton, Birch Meadow, Parker, Coolidge, Barrows, and the new school, all that stuff was submitted before we got on the SBA list.
So if we spend $400,000, that's eventually reimbursable?
When the project gets on the list, yes.
Go ahead, Carl.
How did it come up to $400,000? In terms of hourly or flat fee?
It's a flat contract. What they did is they took what Plansburg had developed, and they said, here's what's missing from the meeting we held.
Right.
And here's what's missing, and here's what it's going to cost you to get to June 1st. Now, to do that, they have to do work on design, as you can see from this plan and from the letter I've written. And that's where the 400, if you look at it, it's a 30% of the project's design. So he's got to do about 30% of the 100% of the complete design to get it up to where, that's what John was talking about. That's the difference. He believes that 30% more needs to be done on the design, 30% of the design to get it so it's SBA acceptable. Now, I need to remind you, as soon as I find out that this high school is go or not go, you're going to be notified. And I won't wait for a vote of the Reading School Committee. I will just tell Design Partnership, stop work until I hear from the board. It's just like this. You took a vote 2 weeks ago to say to move forward. I told them not to lift a finger until tonight's meeting, so they're not. And I would do the exact same thing. I don't think there's anyone closer to what's going on this project right now with all parties, not just the legislators, the other groups I'm working with, and myself. And as soon as I recognize that it's going or not going, you'll be notified. If it's going, you're all set. If it's not going, I'll pull the plug on Design Partnership. And that's going to happen in the next 2 to 3 weeks. The problem is if you don't give them the green light today, then you probably can't expect them to get paperwork in by June 1st. And if the board wants to move to that June 30th date, you have that right, obviously. But, you know, I can't guarantee I can do it. I know I can meet June 1st.
Just another point of clarification. So we would not actually know the outcome of all the efforts for people to try to get that list changed until probably June 30th, because there are towns on that the recent list that came out. There are towns on that list that have not yet had overrides or
right.
anything else to confirm
right.
that they have the money to move forward, which does seem a little unfair. But so all these preparations are being made, all these talks are going on
right.
to try to ascertain why they're on the list and we're not on the list, since we made a great effort to be on.
Well, you're asking a good question. Let me divide it for you.
Okay.
My understanding, and I got this directly from the top, is that the reason the governor signed the legislation that we got put in was because he felt terrible about communities like Reading, which had gone through a belief that the state was going to do this, because he was going to veto it. And our legislators convinced him the towns and cities that have spent money at a time when they don't have money, you can start with special elections, okay, that they did it in good faith with the state. So he did. I need to tell you there's 28 projects, 14 of the 28 don't have funding, but only four, I understand, I got that today from our legislators, only four of the remaining projects that didn't get on the list have full funding. So I don't know what's that, 32 and 28, whatever the difference is. So of the 32 or 33 projects that didn't get put on the list, only four of them have funding. And so that puts us in a special category right there. So they're optimistic about that. But I need to tell you that once it's over with the governor, then the next thing is, you know, there may be a legislative act by the Senate and the House, like there was on this other thing, to move it forward. So, did I answer?
Yes, because I'm concerned about moving forward before we actually know. That's been my main concern. I'm still concerned.
Well, you know, if I could kind of weigh in a little bit, I know the previous chair would wait till everybody had spoken. It's not really my style. I think that Mr. Russo said something that really resonated, and that was that we need to be financially prudent. And to me, that means we have an opportunity ahead of us that if we can get on the list some way, somehow, we can take advantage of the lowest interest rates that we have seen in decades. We can take advantage of construction costs that are so low that projects are coming in under budget for a change for the first time in a decade. You really never know how long this is going to continue. If the economy turns next spring, where are construction costs going to be? We need, in order to save money for this community, to keep moving until we know definitively that where we have exhausted all means of appeal to get on that list. I think that the 62% of the voters told us that. And they're expecting us to fight as hard as possible for this project.
I got a call tonight from the leadership of the Building Pride asking what they needed to do to help me. There's going to be an organizational meeting of a large group of the Building Pride people early next week. I've been asked to attend that meeting to activate our governor, our legislators, and our commissioner. So there is still a strong group out there that has a feeling that, you know, until it's over, I guess.
And we have other issues that I think we need to be very cognizant of. The issue of accreditation. I would seriously offer that we risk are being put on probation or minimum a warning if we're not moving forward on this project. Now, we could be in a position where we can't move forward. However, to get to that point, we need to, you know, for our own academic program, to continue moving forward as quickly as we can. Dr. Attone.
Yeah, and Carl, I don't know if I had the conversation with you or with Brad, but my understanding was, if I remember whoever talked to me, is that they're recommending we continue moving forward. Is that right?
Yes. I had a conversation with the minority leader of the House, Brad Jones, and he said that we should, until there's a final determination, we should continue going forward, plan to get everything in for June 1, because where the concern is all of a sudden they reverse course on May 25th or something like that, and if we're not going in, he feels as though it's really in the best interest of everything. I guess where my concern is, and Harry, I'm not sure how quickly we can get back with David Finney, $400,000 just seems like such an astronomical number to me in terms of off that checklist. Some of the things that were on there, you know, like such as getting different awards.
I think most of it's the design. If you read what I put in there, it's not, I mean, you know, they do have to spend money to go to conservation because they have to bring in experts. They're going to need to do some more borings. You know, if you would like an itemized list, I can do that. But again, I want to remind you, if tomorrow morning I get a call saying there's no hope in this project, I'm going to shut him down. And, you know, if you make it a motion, whatever it is, to move this forward, you should also make a motion authorizing me to shut this thing down and come back to the board for a final vote. I'm just interested in making sure this thing is tied up before I leave. That's really where I'm coming from. Because, you know, if you get a new superintendent appointed by the middle of June, he or she won't be on station until early August. And there's a delta in there. And I'm just really optimistic.
I also think that one of the problems we do have, as they prioritize the list, they put on projects that had issues with accreditation, enrollment,
safety
being number one, and all the rest of them were kind of antiquated buildings that were worn out. But a significant number, a majority of them, were all that category six that were put on the list. It was no different from our project, and all I can say is the differences are arbitrary. And I think that we need to press those points because, in addition to being a building that is antiquated by today's standards, it's a building that's potentially unsafe. You know, when I hear students telling me that things are dripping in their mouths from wet ceiling particles, I'm disgusted. And I think everybody here should be too, that we need to push as hard as possible. When we have floods because of broken valves or broken pipes, no matter what it is, we need to be pushing forward for the health. And we need to make sure that the legislators understand that this is a health and safety issue. This is not an issue. This is an issue of crumbling infrastructure, 60-year-old construction that needs to be replaced. And that also provides serious accreditation issues as a result of that.
It's actually 50. It was built the year I was born.
What did I say?
60.
Oh, I'm sorry, 50.
Right.
Sorry.
There's a 10-year delta.
So I think that it's important on us, at least at a minimum, to accept the superintendent's recommendation here, to continue moving forward until we can be absolutely sure that we won't make the list. And I think it's incumbent on this committee to do everything we can, by all the members, for the benefit of our students to get on that list. Rob?
I first don't think we need to take a vote. We haven't in the past for any other school project. I don't see why we need to take a vote. Again, I think this is more informational from the superintendent to bring us all on the same page with regards to what the snapshot is of today's state scene. And this project, as we all know, has been going back and forth, back on the list, off the list, back on, until really June 1st, or actually after we file our application, we will have no idea where it stands. That is when it's over. So I am in favor of moving on what the voters said, continue with the recommendations from our state legislatures, and move on.
John?
First, if if it's any comfort to anybody, kind of quickly doing an eyeball estimate of this thing, the $400,000 is roughly two labor years. The full court press that was described by the architect in his both the preliminary and final presentations, I can see putting eight people to work on April and May, and then a smaller group in June, July, August to meet the second deliverable. And the $400,000 seems to me like a reasonable budget. Mr. Chairman, do we have a motion on this letter?
Or no, we don't
have
like a
motion. Sense of the committee if we don't want to vote?
I think, what
would you like to do?
Rob just brought up an issue that at this point in time, the school committee has already authorized the superintendent to move forward by virtue of previous votes. We don't really have to vote this again. And in a sense, I tend to agree that there's really no reason, unless there was an overwhelming desire on the part of this committee to stop doing what we're doing, I think we can just continue to move forward with what we're doing.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, the only thing I would like tonight, if I can, is I'd like the board's authorization that at such time I find out the project is on the list, that I am authorized by the board to tell plans or tell the client design partnership to hold off until I get back to the full board. Because I don't think I can pull an emergency meeting, and I need 48 hours to post, and I don't want to spend any more money once I'm at a particular point. So if the board wants to give me that authority, that would be helpful. Because technically the architect works for you, not for me.
Okay. Understood. John?
Yes. I've always been in favor of the high school renovation, except on a more modest fashion. But we have stated, two different committees have stated, that they don't want to move forward on a project unless obviously we get reimbursement. I mean, that's a commitment we've made. And I feel that if we go forward with something, that we already have already received a signal from the state that we're not even, that the state will not even consider our application. I think we are in a process of potentially or actually breaking a trust that we have with the voters. And that is, we made one statement. Secondly, in regard to Flansburgh, if Flansburgh erased their records, whatever it is, Flansburgh is still doing a lot of work for us. They, at one time, just recently, gave a gift of $10,000 to our committee. And I've said this before, as far as I'm concerned, they were responsible to get an approvable project, approvable schematics for approval by the state.
John, I don't mean to interrupt you, but the school building committee, and I attended most of those meetings, it was never the intention of the school building committee that Flansburgh would present the June 1st submission. And it was always the indication from the school building committee that, and by design statute, that we would hire an architect after they brought the project to the point where it was approvable by town meeting and by the voters, that we would take the project over, rebid it as we did according to state law, and hire an architect who would move it forward. And during the whole process, it was indicated that we would be, we had to make sure we did it early enough so that we would have a fair process of selecting the architect. It was a very public process, and that was why the special election was called, to make sure it was fair and open, so that we would have an opportunity to bring, if we selected a new one, and we did, a new architect on board, that they could put their stamp of approval on it by reviewing the documents, preparing all the subsequently necessary submission documentation. I don't think that's an argument you want to continue to make, John.
Okay. Then the other statement I made earlier was that we had the form in front of us at the meeting at the town hall where it was agreed that we could actually complete that form. To commit ourselves to up to $400,000 is, to me, out of place.
Either Flansburgh or Design Partnership agree with you. They say there's more work that needs to be done to get some middle documents.
Mr. Chairman.
John, go ahead.
With respect to Mr. Russo, I suggest that the statement that he cited is one of several that we've heard, and to isolate only that statement is out of context. We've also heard the information that there are only 14 of the 28 that are on the list, are, you know, are even ready to go from their own town's funding, that we're one of the few in the longer list that has its funding in order. This list is going to change. This list is going to change either because those specific towns are going to drop in or drop out of the list. It's going to change because of legislative wrangling. It's going to change for many reasons. I maintain, the way I read the tea leaves, we still have a chance. I know for sure if we do not proceed and submit our packages, we won't have a chance. I see, you mentioned trust with voters. Yes, we have an overwhelming vote to proceed with this high school. That's a trust with the voters. I recommend that we instruct our superintendent. Maybe we do need a vote. If we can't come to a consensus, then Mr. Chairman, I move that we instruct our superintendent to transmit this letter to Design Partnership of Cambridge, dated April 11, 2003, and instruct the architect to proceed with preparation of the submittal package. I further request that the topic of decision points for whether to continue or not to continue with this project be placed on our May 11th agenda, so that we can have an informed discussion of where to go next. Hopefully by then we'll have more information.
So motion's been made. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. And the motion is to proceed with transmitting this document to the architect. And as a separate aside, and if you would accept this as a friendly amendment, John, we also request the superintendent to, if at some point becomes aware that the project is absolutely unreimbursable, to notify the committee so that the committee could decide how to proceed.
Absolutely.
To me, absolutely is okay. Absolutely not a rumor we're hearing from anyone saying doesn't look good, but actually a final thing saying done, deal, no
not,
way.
Not a preliminary list.
I think the only two people who can tell me that are state senator and state rep, because they will decide whether they're going to move a legislative act forward. They will decide whether, and so I think it's pretty straightforward. You know, the amendment could actually be that once the superintendent has heard from our legislature that the program is not going to move forward, because we can't move forward, okay, then at that point.
Suggested language?
Yeah,
I
would recommend that.
That when the superintendent gets sufficient information,
right,
that he notify the architect forthwith and inform the board.
That's good. I like that. Good.
Is there a second on that so I can ask a question?
Second.
Okay. My suggestion would be, I think I gave you the wrong date. It's May, I think it's May 12th.
Is it Tuesday or the Monday?
It's Monday. Is it Monday?
Monday's the 12th, yes.
Okay. Anyways, what I would suggest is that if May 12th is coming and we still don't have a position to accommodate Mr. Carpenter, I would recommend that we have state rep, architect, and state senator come here, because they're going to give you the best information.
Absolutely.
And I think you're going to get what you want by doing.
Bring in the governor, please.
We may have to go see him.
Yeah, man.
Is that all right? Does that do it?
That's great.
Good. We'll do that.
Okay. We have a motion made and seconded. Any other discussion on the board before I take comments from the audience? Mr. Hines?
We have this handout that was memo from the superintendent. On the back it has a schedule. I'm not sure if you've also received the scope of work that's associated with the money that's proposed, but on the schedule it includes final design tasks that appear to be from the bottom of the schedule, work covered by the $400,000 authorization. It seems to me, given the tenuous nature of the situation, that it would be inappropriate to authorize an amount of money that includes final design work at this point in time. Now, maybe within a couple of weeks, that situation will be resolved and it would be clearer. But I would recommend that you authorize, if you don't have the scope of work, that you get one, and that it clearly spells out what the architect would be authorized to do in order to prepare a June 1st submission. I have to agree with Mr. Russo that a reimbursable project is what the school committee committed to moving forward with, and since that is not a condition that we know at the moment, that that you should be very prudent and keep the reins very tight on any money that gets spent until such time as the situation becomes clearer. So I would advocate that, again, that if you don't have a scope of work that for the money that's being spent, that you get it, and that it very clearly spell out that they be authorized to spend money on tasks that are needed for the submission in June. I work with architects and engineers all the time. It can be very difficult, especially since you don't have a full-time project manager, watching the progress of the job, that they go too far down a road on money that they're spent unless it's tightly controlled. So I urge you not to authorize $400,000 worth of work until the whole situation becomes clearer on whether you have a reimbursable project or not.
Any other comments? Ms. Phillips.
Thank you, Mr. Dahl. I know that the school committee just got transferred the project, but it begs reminding that Flansburgh was hired under their RFP to provide the town of Reading with a reimbursable option. Now from SBA, we have found out that option is not reimbursable. So even though Flansburgh's received all their money, I think they still should, and it wouldn't be wrong for the school committee or to ask the building committee to help them and help you get what is needed to be done to make the SBA, to make the deadline. The other question is, you've been denied by the state so far to even submit an application, and I understand you want to continue to move the project forward, but until you're allowed to submit an application, to think about spending any money, I think is without knowing whether you will be allowed to submit the application, is in effect technically breaching the trust of moving forward with a non-reimbursable project, because it's non-reimbursable right now. It is, and we're uncomfortable with that, and we want to change that to keep it going. But that's the facts as we know it right now. So the application has been, according to the superintendent and Mr. Russo, and there seemed to be agreement even with past members, the application could be submitted to meet the requirements of SBA. The other thing that's not being clearly denunciated here is that we are deferring construction. We are not beginning this project until next spring. So according to the SBA regulations, we don't have to have final design drawings till 120 days before we actually start construction. So as long as we get in on the preliminary reimbursement list, that's what this was, a preliminary reimbursement list, we still had to be reevaluated on the criteria by the Board of Education and ultimately by the legislature. I think that to move forward with spending any money, even though we want to keep the project moving forward, and I do, that I think we should wait a couple more weeks to get a definite answer before we get design partnership to spend time to redo. It sounded like they needed to do more work on top of what Flansburgh did. I think we ought to make sure, first of all, that Flansburgh finished the work that they were required to do by the town of Reading before we engaged design partnership for the final to work toward final design plan.
Mr. Chairman, I'm the chairman of the building committee. Called me last week prior to their last meeting. I had a conversation asking you to plan for fulfilled all aspects of the contract with this report. You indicated all aspects, and at that point, the building committee formally voted to accept that report and discharge the report from any responsibility.
One of the comments was the nature of the reimbursable budget plan that did present a project that has the potential to be reimbursable. We already have a letter from that effect.
Any other comments? Anything from the board?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. With respect to Mrs. Phillips' comments, the logic doesn't quite work, because if you don't do anything until your project is on the list, you never go to the election, you wouldn't have hired Flansburg in the first place. You must do some things to move the project forward, and especially where we have some assurance that if not now, at some point in the future, maybe it's 3 years, but at some point this project will move forward and we will be able to grab that opportunity right then, which is what Reading has done with many of its building projects. Had creativity and aggressive management to seize the opportunities when we can. And as Mr. Dahl pointed out, if the sooner we do it, the better bid we're going to get, the lower interest rate we're going to get. It is the interest and the tax, it is in the interest of the taxpayers of the town of Reading to proceed with this project.
Thank you. Any other comments? Okay, we have a motion on
Mr.
the floor.
Chairman, I'd like to speak.
I'm sorry, Mr.
Public
Phillips.
Input.
Mr. Phillips, the last time you spoke to this committee, you insulted a member of this committee.
That's your perception.
I'm also running
too.
This committee right now, Mr. Phillips. And until I see an apology, I am not going to take comment from you, because I think that it was such a severe breach of protocol and courtesy that I would expect an apology to the former member of this board prior to speaking in front of this committee.
Mr. Dahl,
thank you.
You denied my civic rights.
And you can take that to the district attorney, Mr. Phillips.
You failed to address the factual information I presented.
Mr. Phillips.
And you do not have the right to exempt any citizen from input in a public open meeting.
Mr.
I'm
Phillips.
I'm telling you that, and I'm saying
that's fine.
As a committee, you're going to open yourself up to litigation. If you deny me my civic rights,
any more comments, Mr. Phillips, I will have the police remove you.
Am I hurt? Are you denying me my right to speak at a public meeting?
I told you, until you apologize, I am.
There will be no apology for exercising my civic rights.
We have a motion in front of the board. We have a motion in front of the board that's been made and seconded. Is there any other discussion from the board? Mrs. Mandel.
You'll hear from my attorney, Mr. Dahl.
Thank you.
Yes, you will personally.
That's fine.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I just want some I want to make a clarification on the towns that are still waiting for their votes in their communities. Those towns, most of them, as far as I know, have already done their design work. So they are basically waiting for the final, for a vote to proceed with the construction part of the project. Otherwise, there'd be no way for them to possibly get on the list by June 1. We in the town of Reading have only done schematics. We haven't done the design work. That's why this new advisory tells you not to spend money on design work or capital campaigns, votes, elections, if you haven't done so, because we as a town have not done the final design work. That's the difference between why we're not on the list most likely and the other towns. And also, I'd just like clarification from the superintendent. At the meetings when the architects were here for the interviews, numerous of them said that they had talked to Christine Lynch and the preliminary schematic designs had not been submitted by Flansburg. And they recommended that Flansburg get those in as soon as possible. My question is, that was mid-March. What did the state, SBA, evaluate in order to not put us on the list? Did they not have the correct documents in SBA? Did Flansburg not submit all the information that they were supposed to? If you could address that.
Sure. State used the seven criterias. Project is obsolete.
It's number six. And nothing to do with, I mean, I can tell you Danvers has a project just passed town meeting. I can tell you that North Andover hasn't even gone to the selectmen yet, let alone town meeting and a vote on the project. These projects were solely evaluated on whether it was safety, enrollment, obsolete, desegregation, and that. And that's what I heard from our legislators. As far as the submittal goes, I heard nobody say, except one firm, that we should get it in by March 1st. That date has been arbitrarily removed by the state, and it wasn't until last week that the building committee formally approved that document, and I'm still waiting for Flansburg, and I hope to have it by tomorrow or early next week, the document that we will submit to SBA, but had nothing to do with it. It's strictly what kind of project were you moving forward? DSEG, life and safety, structurally inept, enrollment, desegregation, obsolete, etc. Or future enrollment issues, I should say.
Mr.
Chairman?
Go ahead.
In support of your recent ruling, I would suggest to Mr. Phillips that when he talks to his attorney, that he refer him to Chapter 272, Section 40 of the Massachusetts General Laws, which reads, disturbance of school or public meeting. Whoever willfully interrupts or disturbs a school or other assembly of people met for a lawful purpose shall be punished by imprisonment of not more than 1 month or by a fine of not more than $50, provided, however, that whoever within 1 year after being twice convicted of a violation of this section again violates the provisions of this section shall be punished by imprisonment of 1 month, and sentence imposing such imprisonment shall not be suspended. The title of that is Crimes Against Chastity, Morally, Decency, and Good Order, sir. Refer that to your lawyer.
Mr. Hines, you have the floor.
Mr. Dahl, the school committee is obviously free to conduct this business any way they please. However, I'd suggest that you suspend your discussion on the current motion before you and have some discussion on what just occurred. We as public servants are frequently confronted with people whose opinions we disagree with. But to not allow an individual to speak at a public meeting and for the rest, five of the members of the committee to let that action go uncontested, I think potentially subjects all of the committee to litigation. I think Mr. Carpenter's citing of the law, while it may be a perfectly appropriate section of the law, if I were called it as a witness, could not sustain that the person did anything to disrupt the meeting until he was provoked into doing so. So I'd urge you to hear the opinion that you may disagree with, but at least let it be heard.
Mr. Hines, the reason I did that is at the final meeting of a previous school committee member, he was accused not only of conflict of interest, but in the comments made during the presentation by the former speaker, he was accused of actual criminal activities. And to that, I cannot tolerate that kind of question to the board, that kind of comment. It was totally out of place, and I think and I believe that the former school committee person in question deserves an apology. That's a disruption of the meeting, and I think that in this committee we've expected more courtesy than that. And I don't know how else to get that message across, Mr. Hines, that I expect decency, I expect courtesy, accusations, they don't need to be made here. And that's why I'm requesting an apology to that member. Go ahead, Mr. Phillips. This addresses that issue. And please make it brief. And there's not an apology forthcoming, Mr.
Mr. Dahl, you misrepresent completely what I said at that meeting. And for you to say that I accused him of criminal activity is something for which I will seek redress one way or the other, because you misrepresented what I had to say. And I said nothing conclusively or factually. I said something to support my reason for wanting Mr. Toomey to recuse himself. And as I told you at that last conversation that we had,
favoritism as a result of that.
Favorable treatment.
Thank you.
And I stand by that without retraction. But to say I accuse him of criminal activity, it shows poor judgment on your part. And for a person to have a bias and a lack of objectivity is not to say that they're guilty of criminal activity. I'm talking about human foibles and frailties, as were exhibited by your lack of objectivity, Mr. Dahl, in your overreaction to my remarks when you went ahead and, because of your relationship with Mr. Toomey, which you cited in that meeting, went ahead and showed how easy it is for a person to lose objectivity. And that's all I meant to say by my remarks about Mr. Toomey and how easy it is for a person to have... That is what I know what my intentions were, Mr. Dahl, and I'll tell you, I think it was your lack of objectivity and your lack of objectivity that did not allow you to see the intention of what I had to say. And as I told you at that last meeting, another town official said that they thought it was right, that he should have recused himself. I'm not alone in that opinion.
That's not the issue, Mr. Phelps. I'll make this clear one more time, and then we'll drop this issue entirely. It wasn't that you discussed a need to recuse himself. It was that in your presentation, you said that because of that, Flansburgh had received favorable treatment. That is an accusation. And that is the reason I was upset, and I still am.
You know, what the result of his actions may have been are one thing, but for me to get into motive is something I've always been smart enough and careful enough to never do, and I never did do that, I'm sure.
No.
And I'll say publicly, frankly, Mr. Dahl, and I say this not tit for tat, I am deserving of a public apology for you to say that I accused him of criminal activity, because that was never the intent, nor was it the substance of my remarks. You're reading into it due to your lack of objectivity. And I don't want to be contentious or be disruptive of these meetings, but yeah, I do resent that I was not allowed to participate on this issue.
We have a motion in front of the board. Mr. Russo.
I would like to address this issue if I could,
please. We're not on this issue. We are on the issue of the motion in front of us. You may not address that issue.
Well, to make that official, I move the question.
This is a continuation.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I'm not going to take the moving the question. If we have substantive issues on the...
Which alders can be... John's elected member. He should be able to give his piece.
I don't want to talk to a specific motion, but I'll wait till after the motion and then I can speak.
Yes. Okay. Let's get this business out of the way, John. Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I
welcome to the committee, guys.
I strongly suggest you ask the recording secretary to read that motion, please.
Please.
So requested.
Instruct the superintendent to transmit the letter to Design Partners, dated April 11, 2003, and instruct the architect to proceed with the preparation of the submittal package and request that the topic of whether to continue or not continue be placed on the May 10th agenda so we can have an informed discussion on where to go next. And also, when the superintendent gets sufficient information that the project is not reimbursable, then he notify the architect forthwith and notify the board.
And would it be wise at this point to amend that? I think Mr. Hines had a reasonable comment about including a scope of the work so we can keep track on how that money is being spent.
That's a friendly amendment. Thank you, George.
Okay, any other discussion on that? All those in favor of the motion is made, please signify by raising the right hand. All opposed? And that passes 5-1. Mr. Russo did want to claim the floor. Go ahead.
Yes, this is in regard to Mr. Carpenter's comment. Tonight I was hoping for a quiet dinner. Obviously we started off on the wrong track, but I've known John Carpenter for 20 years, and we've had many civil discussions, so I will continue that, and I have no problem with that. Hopefully he understands the comments I'm about to make are taken the same way. If we applied that rule of law that you've just mentioned, I think we can jail probably 20% of the people in the United States to speak before boards. I don't believe that. I don't believe that Mr. Phillips was out of place. He simply asked, made some statements, and that was it. And I think we should be calmer in terms of handling people who have disagreeable comments or points of views. And the committee has improved itself quite a bit since I've been here, but I went through a difficult time period, and I don't like to go back to that again. And I hope to remind people that we're here as public servants, and there will be questions about us that will be made on and on and on.